through 499, 502 through 508.
These are add-ons, right?
Yes, sir.
So like the 507 and 508, do they combine those two parcels? Because you're getting rid of the...
That particular one, Brandon, there was a building, a leased building.
That's the one that we had the lease on, and is this Table Rock?
Yes, after the lease Flintstone block.
And then we needed to figure out who actually owned it and who wanted it. And
exactly. Okay. So it's adding that building
that
on.
That building onto the real estate. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Miss White, do you have any issues with any of those?
No.
Were we on D?
This would be D.
Move to approve Exhibit D with today's date.
Second.
Can you call the vote, please?
I'm sorry.
That's right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed.
Okay, my next set is occupancies. They are from 203448, 454 through 460, 464 through 474, and 483, along with
Is that the add-on you sent?
That was that add-on I sent last Thursday.
Okay. It was a separate email. It's on a separate. Because it's on a separate paper, we'll just do that on it if you don't care.
That's fine.
On these occupancies, do they just submit saying, hey, we've moved in, or how does that usually get to you guys?
That'd be nice. yeah, funny about it. No, we have to watch them.
Okay.
And it's the way that bill reads is we don't put it on until you occupy it.
Right.
You can build a house and leave it unoccupied for 3 years or four and then go on the books. So yeah, we have to wait.
So you just kind of go and see and
try by and see.
Don't you get something from...
Well, we watch our building permits and stuff. But the city of Branson has... tells you when they're occupied.
I say they actually get an occupancy permit to finally move in. And,
right. But I guess they could even make a permit to move in and not move in, or we still couldn't put it on.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, we do try to watch building permits the best we can.
We're on E.
E.
Move to approve Exhibit E with today's date.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed.
And then the last one's abatement 551. Label that Exhibit F. Move to approve Exhibit F with today's date.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed.
That is all of the abatements and court orders I have for today. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for your explanations. I spent quite a bit of time separating those online. Village of Tangville funding agreement, wastewater treatment.
Good morning. Good morning.
Mr. Suti.
As stated, this is a funding agreement request from the Village of Tangville in regards to their filter system addition project. The engineering portion of that project was wrapped up here a few weeks ago, and now the village is wishing to move into the construction phase to actually construct this equipment. The Village of Taneyville is requesting approval of the above referenced funding agreement. The amount being requested through this funding agreement is $723,448.95. A breakdown of these funds is as follows. Number one, construction administration, including inspection, $89,000. Construction contract with McClanahan Construction Company Incorporated, $599,000. And three, there's a 5% contingency built into the project for $34,449.95. To reiterate, this project and the addition of this specific equipment is necessary for the village to meet new discharge limits placed upon the village by the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. The new, more stringent discharge limits are a product of the MDNR's reclassification of the receiving stream the wastewater treatment facility discharges into. Going from a receiving stream, basically, to a losing stream category. As indicated in the request letter information submitted by the village, the apparent low bidder was Flat Creek Excavating LLC. However, they did not provide specific information required as part of the bidding process. Taking the bid irregularities into account, the Board of Trustees voted to award the bid to McClanahan Construction Company Incorporated. McClanahan Construction Company Incorporated was the contractor who built the Taneyville wastewater treatment facility and has significant wastewater treatment facility experience. The village is requesting that the funding agreement remain active until October 31st, 2018 to allow sufficient time for the work covered under this funding agreement to be completed and also provide time for the required approval processes. The village entered into an amended engineering services agreement with HDR Engineering Incorporated on September 27th, 2017 to provide construction administration services for the project, which includes resident project representation and inspection services. A copy of this agreement is included with this report. The village's Board of Trustees approved the funding agreement on October 11, 2017. Three copies of this funding agreement were presented to an attorney representing the county commission has reviewed and approved each copy as to form. This project meets the criteria necessary to determine the project's eligibility for approval and funding through the sewer sales tax funding agreement program. That on the Flat Creek issue there was only like $1,000 difference between the two contractors, but there was some, Travis can probably enlighten us a little more on that, but there was some bidding requirements. I think there was experience.
And then the references and the certificate of authorization to do business.
And they, for whatever reason, they didn't provide that. There's an oversight, but it was definitely required. And McClanahan, of course, they built the original treatment facility there now, so they would be a good choice to have to do this work. This amount of money was planned on and is part of the funding agreement.
2017?
Yeah, okay. The monies that you you and the other commissioners approved late last year, but it's getting started later than what we anticipated, so these funds will... Probably the majority, vast majority of these funds will have to carry over into 18.
With the, you said the majority, the main reason for the expenses is because of the change.
Yes.
The discharge, it goes from a receiving stream to a
losing stream category.
And then that's based on, you said DNR?
Yes, Missouri Department of Natural Resources.
And then is the federal government involved in making regulations that made the Missouri Department of Natural Resources make changes?
I don't know really how that came about, Travis.
DNR basically does is every, I don't know the time period, but every few years they go through and classify the streams, and it's just, this stream got reclassified, so when that happens, you fall into a different category of permit limits. I mean, it wasn't a change in regulation or anything, it's just the way that stream got classified this time.
Yeah, it's not really even a stream. It's kind of just a dry gully wash. I don't know how it got classified as a gaining stream to begin with. Yeah. It's, to me, a gaining stream would be like Swan Creek or, you know, Turkey Creek. Yeah.
Is there any way to Ms. White, I think you know where I'm going with this, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. You said DNR reclassified me? Mm-hmm.
Which, when they did that, their discharge limits got vastly more stringent.
With your guys' professional opinions, and I understand, Steve, is there any, because of the reclassification, for whatever reasons, is there any harm to the environment with what's with the way it's operating now?
I'd say probably not any harm in how it's operating currently. Mr. Robertson, he's the contract operator. We've never had any issue. The concern is meeting the new limits on a consistent basis.
I understand the new limits, but if we can get that changed, instead of spending almost $725,000, is the need really there to do that to protect the environment, or is it just a bureaucracy and something that they're making us do because they don't even know what they're looking at when it comes to that specific stream or that specific whatever?
They're looking at all of them, James. You're basically reclassifying all of them. There's a lot of government, you know, bureaucracy and oversight, but we're barely meeting the limits. I mean, the maintenance, we're having to clean the UVs, ultraviolet dissipation, you know, every time we're there, pulling out, I mean, we're just barely meeting them. So the only way we can continue to meet them safely with less work, you know, at the plant is to have the filter system.
So you're saying you're barely meeting the limits now, not the new limits,
the new limits. The new limits are already in effect.
Okay.
And you are meeting the new limits.
Barely.
Then it sounds
they
like
are
what?
Being met, but it's kind of, like Chris said, they basically have to clean everything right before they test, and it's, they're struggling.
How were they being met prior to the new limits?
Oh, they were fine before.
And the reason, Ms. White and I had the opportunity to go into Washington, D.C. and actually meet with federal agencies. And it was a very good trip. And it was a trip that allowed us to, I think the new federal administration is being serious about the needs of local government. And correct me if I say anything wrong, Sheila. The conversations that we had with we got to meet and was in meetings with some top people. And the way they're looking at a lot of this stuff is what they say, for every new regulation or every new, you have to get rid of two. And with the Department of Transportation, for example, they've been getting rid of 15. One example they used was it took them 6 years to build the Hoover Dam, and they're trying to get 2 miles redone. It's already an existing project. Took them 28 years. I think it was in Alaska because of all the oversight and bureaucracy and just the nonsense that doesn't really need to be there. So my question is going to be, does this fall under something like that? Who makes the decisions at the state level, at the DNR? Can there not be conversations had and said, hey, it's not an unfunded mandate, but it is. I mean, $725,000. Now, if it needs to be done because of the environment, then that's a whole different. But for them to just say, you know, with what you just said, Mr. Suti, how did he even get to be a stream to begin with?
I think with future growth, you know, is what they're looking for. It'd be harder to meet those limits.
The new limits.
But you mentioned the White River watershed. I thought you said White River. What'd you say?
James River Basin.
Oh, James River. And the, which Clean goes into.
There's a lot of people working on this issue. Right. Opinions to the DNR. The DNR is the ultimate decision makers on limits. It all has to do with reclassifying losing streams, receiving streams. They tell you what you can and can't have, your phosphorus limits, ammonia limits, things like that change. They're trying to get better and better legislation to make the waters cleaner and cleaner.
You say better and better legislation to make waters clean and clear. I don't know that to be true. I don't know. That's almost an oxymoron. Better legislation. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's create more laws. Now we do need to protect things. Don't get me wrong. But
I think what happens then their permit came up for renewal, and whenever you know they issue those discharge permits every 5 years, and theirs just kind of came up, and that's when they come down to this inspection. And like I say,